resist you more than I feel your touch. Tender love, shoving me straight from the heart. Pull me nearer, please let me be a part of the tender love you're giving to me. Tender love,
tender love,
love so tender.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the known world listening to this podcast, listening to us live. Again, this is Dr. Hinton with Love Lines. I am here for all of your love, intimacy, and attachment needs. For those that would like to participate, you can contact me, send an email. All correspondence, comments, suggestions, or ideas are left anonymous. You can contact me at mulovedoctor@gmail.com. That's mulovedr@gmail.com. Again, mulovedr@gmail.com. You can contact me on the Facebook page. That's Lovelines-WMUL88.1 FM. That's Lovelines-WMUL88.1 FM. Or we are slightly big time now. We have gone to podcast. So if you'd like to correspond, let's talk back and forth in real time, by all means, contact us. Get on the podcast page. That's Mahogany Love and Light at podbean.com. Mahogany Love and Light. That's all one word. Mahogany Love and Light at podbean.com. All questions, comments, ideas, or perspectives are welcome. We got a lot of work to do today. Because I'm using the university stream, because everyone can't get on Podbean, I do want to give a disclaimer. Any of the perspectives, ideas, comments, or suggestions that you hear on this show from me or any of the guests or anyone that calls in are not represented or supported by Marshall University, are not represented or supported by any of its employees, sponsors, affiliates, or supporters, is not represented or supported by WMUL, any of its employees, sponsors, affiliates, or supporters. But these are the sole comments, suggestions, and perspective of myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, or any of our guests. So as I always say, this is not therapy. Take this advice at your own risk. I know that sounds super bad, but again, take this advice at your own risk. If you are in the area and you need therapeutic services, please, by all means, email me. If you're not in the area, please shoot me an email. And I can send you some contacts of great therapists, great counselors, and everyone that's out there that can sort of give you a perspective. And as I always say, therapy is not a bad thing at all. Sometimes you just need a third person outside of the box that doesn't have a dog in the fight, so to speak, just to give you fresh perspective. Okay. So again, I want to thank everyone who continues to support the show, everyone who continues to respond to emails, everyone who continues to call in. I thank you. Thank you so much. Peace and blessings. Before we get to the questions that I have posted, there were a few that we didn't get to last week that I promised people that I would at least touch on in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Okay, and I want to do them justice. I don't want to run through them, but there have been some. And my deepest apologies if I haven't responded to your email online. I've been inundated. I'm getting through them as quickly as I can. And if I don't get to your correspondence online, at the very least, I will make sure that I answer each and every email. Okay. So again, slated for today, we have a father who is concerned about his black son-in-law. But what he's not so much concerned about his black son-in-law, he's worried about his grandkids. Okay? So we have him to go to. We have someone else who wants to know, should love be unconditional? Should you be willing to do anything? If you say you love someone, should you be willing to do anything, or are there limits? And if you have limits, are you fully giving yourself over to the love experience? We got a gentleman tonight who wants to know, what's the difference between dating and prostitution, which I thought was interesting. His perspective is, either way, I feel like I'm paying for it, so why don't I just go the cheap route? So we will get to him before the evening's over, and just a few other good stuff. But before we go there, again, there were a few that I didn't get to last week, and if you'd like to comment, if you're on the podcast and you'd like to comment, please share your perspectives and ideas, and I'll share them as well while I'm online. So to first start, and something that was left over from last week, there was a lady, she wrote an email in, and she entitled it Miss Confused. And I can't remember if we got to it last week or not. If we did, my deepest apologies, but I just want to make sure I touch on it before we move forward. Basically, she has two men that want to marry her. Now, how she got into this situation is none of my business, okay? But she has two men that want to marry her. One guy is, she said, very intelligent and is well off, has a promising future, and is well off and has money from his family. This other guy is really sweet, is really nice. She really loves him. But his earning potential might not be the same as this other guy, as Mr. Richie Rich. So she actually wrote in and asked, and she actually wrote, I my deepest apologies, I forgot to post this on the page, but she said she would like to see people's perspectives on what should be most important. There is this guy that I love, but basically he doesn't have a lot of money and I don't know if he will. There is this other guy who I care about him. He cares about me. She said she feels as though they could have a successful, healthy relationship, but and she would never have to work. So those that are on the podcast at mahoganylovinglight.com, let me know what you think. So her question is, and she entitled this Miss Confused, what should she lend most weight to in making this decision? Okay. And the interesting part about her correspondence is she says she's not cheating and she's not lying to either of them. Both of them know about the other person. So you have two men who are competing for the love of one woman. I cannot make this up. She said they know about each other. Is she shallow to consider money? Should money matter? It sounds nice and it sounds sweet to say that it doesn't, but to some degree it does. I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that any of us should marry someone purely for resources and finances. Although if you do, I mean, I think there are lots of couples that have an arrangement that like that's not uncommon. That's not uncommon in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But should money matter? And she's been made to feel like she's shallow for saying that money matters. And I think that that's a larger part of this misconception about what relationships are about. Part of the reason money matters, if money doesn't matter, then what I want you to do is I want you and your boyfriend to go to the light company. And when you get your light bill, I want you to hold hands and I want you to go to the light company and say, go to the electric company and say we love each other and see if they don't cut your lights off. At the end of the day, it's a realistic part of life that money matters. Sometimes, so often, a lot of great relationships, I think, are ruined. Because how can we love each other if we're constantly worried about how to keep the lights on, how to pay for daycare, how to pay for the basketball lessons at the local YMCA? I don't think that it should be. I don't know. And then again, that's personal preference. Like, should that be the sole and only reason that you marry somebody? I don't know. But to say that money doesn't matter, in my opinion, is a lie. Love don't pay the light bills. Love don't pay the rent. To some degree, it matters. Now, in trying to choose between these two men, I don't think that should be your sole reason. Glenn said, but when looking at a long-term relationship, financial security is kind of important. Agreed. Peyton said she's not shallow at all. Peyton, if you're listening, Miss Confused, Peyton online says you're not shallow at all. She said times are hard out here. But as much as we joke about marrying for money out here, if you marry for love, you know, you're going to be rich in a sense. That's true. It's very true. Money always matters. The thing that sucks about it is if you both work towards something you love and can pay the bills. You know, that's really what matters in the end. I agree. Glenn says, again, love is a wealth money. Love is a wealth money can't buy, but love doesn't pay the bills. Again, so something to think about. And again, some of these older ones, my deepest apologies, I didn't get to you last week. I will tell you this, Miss Confused. This is something that I've learned over the years, and it's something that I want you to sit still and I want you to think about. okay? And for those out there, pardon my language, but misconfused, I will tell you this. Love don't mean shit unless it's from the person that you want it to be from. I'm gonna pause there and let you think about that. Again, I don't think it is very realistic for you to consider finances. But at the end of the day, love don't mean a damn thing unless it's from who you want it to be from. So often we get in relationships with people who are good enough. So often we get with people who we like. So often there's somebody that we really love that don't want our ass. And you get with somebody that's good enough. And what we do is we try to change the people that we're with. We try to change them and make them and mold them into somebody they're not. We try to change them and make them and mold them into somebody that we wish that they were. Or we try to change them into someone who we wished loved us, but that doesn't. And the question is, when you get used to the money and you get used to your BMW, and you get used to the fancy, when you get used to the fancy dinners and the fancy cars, the question is, young queen, what do you have? That is most important. As I've said before, I end every show by saying, I have never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse. This life is short. And when this ride of life is all over, the only thing that you're going to think about, you're not going to think about your cars. You're not going to think about your house. You're not going to think about your jewelry. The only thing that you will think about is, did I do the things in life that I wanted to do? And did I love the people that I wanted to love? That's it. All the rest of this bullshit is shits and giggles. So, love don't, and this is just my opinion, you know, but again, I'm here because I'm a sucker for love. I really, really am. There is nothing more dope than having one person that you could roll over every day that knows you like nobody else on the face of this earth. There is nothing more magical than that to me. I mean, I'm not married, but I'm just saying there. I think that is the dopest idea ever. So I'm not telling you who you on this show. I'd never tell you who to be with, who not to be with, who to love, who to stay, who to dump. I'm saying that it is something to consider. That, like, in my opinion, love don't mean nothing unless it's coming from who you want it to come from. And if you get with this guy with this money, will you always be thinking about, will your heart be somewhere else? Would you want someone to marry you and be with you and their heart was somewhere else? That is the question. Glenn online said you can't change people in the long term. Eventually, we all revert back to the median. Good point. Again, Glenn said you can only, you know, front yourself for so long before normal state comes back. Like, it's something that I know it's not an easy decision. Because, again, it doesn't make you shallow to live in the real world. Money matters. And so often there are so many relationships that don't make it because they never have time to love each other because they're always stressed and worried about keeping the lights on. That is a reality. That is a reality. But at the end of the day, at least in my opinion, love don't mean nothing unless it's coming from who you want it to come from. So I don't know if that helped you. I hope that you definitely didn't write in thinking that I would tell you what to do, because, you know, that's not what we do here. But again, these are all just, again, I'm here. Those online are here. We're here just to give you different perspectives, different ideas, give you different angles on how to think about relationships, how to think about your life, and how to think about love, okay? So hopefully this helps. And again, peace and blessings to you. Peyton wrote in, and just something else as a last quick something on the end. Peyton online says, you know, she'd rather struggle with a man who she loves than be sitting pretty with someone that she doesn't. Or to be sitting pretty with someone that owns her. So again, you have to find out what's important for you. You have to find your own truth. Again, it seems that there's a consensus that, you know, you are not shallow for trying to consider, can we make it? How I feel, as we said before, and I say all the time on this show, how I love you and you love me. Relationships ain't about love. I keep trying to tell y'all that relationships have absolutely nothing to do with love and everything to do with, is this functional and is this healthy? Those are the only two questions you should ask yourself when you are debating joining or creating a union with someone. Everybody you love, you ain't supposed to be with. Everybody you like, you're not supposed to be with. But the question is this functional and is this healthy? That's the question. Those are the questions you have to ask. So thinking about money, thinking about children, thinking about religion, like all of those things play an important part in how well two people will function together. So those are all things to think about, okay? And again, Glenn said, nobody should feel like a monetary asset if that's the case. So again, hopefully this helps, and peace and blessings to you, okay? If you got any other questions or concerns, please write in, okay? Moving forward. Like I said, there were two or three comments and two or three emails we had to get to before we got to the new stuff. And my apologies, but we just ran over last week and didn't get a chance to get to it. Somebody tell me what you think. Next, again, this is something that's connected. It's actually connected to Miss Confused email. I try to find common themes and clump those emails together to sort of give like one solitary theme. Someone else, there were two or three other people that asked the question of what should matter most in a relationship. And it's something we've touched on before, but again, for those of you out there who asked that question, what should matter, what's important and what should matter most, again, having something in common. As I said, but I've said it before and I'll say it again, I don't care how great the sex is. I don't care how attractive somebody is. I don't care how big her breasts are, how big his muscles are. If you roll over and you look at anybody long enough, you will get used to them. They will become regular to you. And when they become regular to you, the question is, what do you have? The thing that holds relationships together, the thing that holds people together, are common goals, common values, and common belief systems. You better make sure you got something in common. And that's oftentimes what happens. I tell people, like, real relationships, I see people getting engaged and they've been together 2 years. And I'm like, real relationships start at like the 2 year mark, when y'all used to looking at each other, when you start to get used to the sex, when things start to become routine. That is when a real relationship starts, because that's when you see what you're made of. I hear people all the time say, well, we wasn't arguing like this in the beginning, and we're arguing like this now. What's wrong? How can we fix it? How can we fix it? How can we fix it? Well, you probably wasn't really matched or made for each other in the beginning, but you was all excited. You was in this puppy love, this infatuation stage. You was all infatuated. You was having great sex. And you was overlooking all these red flags and all these things that all these instances that you didn't have. Man said it best, this lustful stage. You're all excited and everything is so new and so exciting. You're overlooking all of these contradictions and all of these things that you're opposite on. But like I said, when all the good sex is over and all of the newness has worn off, the question is, what do you have? Goals, values, and beliefs. In my opinion, you better find somebody you got something in common with. We all gonna get old. We all gonna get wrinkly. We all gonna lose hair, and we all gonna go gray. The finest people in Hollywood get cheated on. So again, for those out here who ask this, I think that you better find, when you talk to couples who've been married 10 and 15 and 20 years, it ain't sex that held them together. It's we got up together. We never went to bed mad. We both like music. We both like sports, like having shared values and beliefs and belief systems. Like those are the things that keep people together. Once you stop thinking with hormones, can you still stand them? That's what Glenn said online. That's a very, very good. That's a very good point. You know, when you're young, you think hormonally. As you get older, you start to think emotionally. I think that, and again, this probably gets into more philosophy and spirituality than anything else. I think whatever the divine is, and I said this before, but I say it again, whatever the divine is, it has decided to split itself into two halves, male and female. And I think that for whatever reason, we are constantly seeking union. When you're young, you're hormonal. So you seek that union, even as temporary as it is, you seek that union through sex. When you get older, you're hormonal, but you're not as hormonal. You're emotional. You seek that union through marriage. Like, so find somebody you got something in common with, in my opinion. That's the thing that, that's the one thing that, piece of advice that I would give you. Okay. Again, Glenn said his biggest turn on for his fiance was her brain, and the rest of it was just a bonus. So, again, on the right track, my brother Glenn, you're on the right track. Peace and blessings. Okay. All right, one more, and then we'll get to the new stuff. There is someone who there's a young lady who wrote in, and she said that she suspects that her partner is cheating and stepping outside of their relationship. Sorry, I apologize if I'm going too fast. But I got a lot of stuff that we have slated for today. And if we don't get to it, I'll slow down. I guess if we don't get to it, then we'll just push it to next week or whatever. I only do Love Lines once a week for a couple of hours on Sunday. So that's why I try to get in as much as I can, but I'll try to slow down. We got a young lady she suspects that she's being cheated on. Her partner always tells her that, I sense a little gas, what we call gaslighting, going on in this relationship. He's constantly telling her that it's all in her head, that she's messing up a good thing. She's worried about nothing. If you don't know what gaslighting are psychological tools that people use against you to make you feel like you're crazy, to make you feel like you're not seeing what you think you're seeing or what you know you're seeing. Peyton said, don't get us started. But I sense a lot of gaslighting going on. He's constantly telling her, you're ruining a good thing. We got a good relationship. Why are you always complaining? Blah, blah, blah. She thinks he's cheating, but her question is, should she try to dig and figure out? But most importantly, why is she so afraid? Why is she so afraid? She says she feels like she's to a point that she's lying to herself and she's tricking herself. And she said, why is she so afraid? And she just signed it. She just signed it, Miss B. I will tell you this. So, Miss B, I used to teach, and I may have said this before, but I'll say it again. I used to teach a love and relationships course. Okay? The first assignment was always, I want you to list five characteristics of love and relationships. I want you to go home. I want your partner to do it. And I want y'all to compare your list. Okay? See if you think about love and relationships the same. They would go out. They would come back in. And without fail, maybe 60 to 70% of the class wouldn't do it. And I'm like, well, why didn't you do it? You know, I'll just, you know, Dr. Hinton, I'll just take an F today. You'll take an F? You'd rather take an F than do the assignment? But the question is, why didn't you do it? Literally, this happened like 3 semesters in a row, and I just stopped. And the reason they didn't do it is because I already know that I'm with a bum. I already know that I'm with somebody that I don't have something in common with. I already know that I'm with someone who's cheating or who doesn't love like me or who doesn't make a family like me. But the reason that I don't do it is if I do this assignment, if I go and I ask my partner how they think about love and our list don't match, now I have to make a decision. Now, in the back of my head, I knew that me and my partner weren't compatible. In the back of my head, I knew that this probably wasn't the best situation, the best relationship for me. I've known that, she's known that, these people have known this the entire time. But the reason that you keep running is because once you get confident, now you have to make a decision. Somebody out there right now, you know you with a clown right now. You know this person is cheating on you. You know they're not the best for you. You know it's not a healthy situation. But you won't do anything about it, and the question is why. Again, once you get confirmation, and her question is, why is she afraid to ask? Why is she afraid to check? Why is she afraid? Because once, I believe that once you find something and you get confirmation, you got to make a decision of whether you're going to stay or whether you're going to leave. And then once you find out and you stay, well, you feel like a fool for staying. Once you leave, well, are you ready to be alone is the question. And I'm just asking these questions. To Miss B who wrote this, I mean no disrespect, and I'm not assuming anything, but I'm saying that these are things you should ask about. Why are you afraid to be alone? If you know this cat is a bum and you believe he's stepping outside of your relationship, and if you find out that he does, why are you so afraid? Are you afraid to be alone? Are you codependent? So in order to not have to deal with any of these things, we lie to ourselves. Not just you, Miss B. Queen, I've been there. I absolutely positively have been there. I've cheated on people and I have been cheated on. And I've been with somebody who was cheating on me, and I made up excuses. Because I subconsciously didn't want to deal with it. Because once I confirmed she was cheating, then I was going to have to make a decision whether to end this relationship or was I prepared, and did I want to be by myself? Was I codependent on this person in some way, shape, form, or fashion? Oh, codependency is a trip. Was I stable, and did I love myself enough that I could be out on my own? Like, I didn't want to deal with all that. So what do I do? Well, she just got to work. Like, she told me that she was working late or she was at the gym, and it felt like a lie, but I just put my head down and just let it rock and roll. So, again, Peyton said people try to make you feel crazy. And like the bad guy, so he doesn't feel bad about what he's doing. That's a good point. And then I'll give you another little trick, Miss B. All those little arguments that you having at the house, those little nothing arguments, and you wondering where they're coming from. That's how you justify cheating. You come home, you subconsciously start a fight, and then he says to himself, and I don't know if he's cheating or not. I'm just saying in general. And then you say, well, see, this is why I'm cheating. We won't get along. You wonder where all these nothing arguments coming from. But again, that's not your question. Your question is, why are you afraid to know? Because once we come in to know, we have to do something about it. And it's not just with relationships, it's in life. We don't want to know what the kids on the other side of town going through, because once we know that those kids don't get the same education as our kids, once we know that crime over there is bad, once we know that the police don't respond on the other side of town the way they respond on our side of town. See, once we know what other people are going through, if you don't step up and say something, then you're complicit. See, it's not just relationships. It's just how people are. We just would rather turn a blind eye to other people's pain. We'd rather turn a blind eye. Glenn said ignorance is bliss. Exactly. Like, we would just rather turn a blind eye to other people's pain so we don't have to deal with it, so we don't bear the responsibility of having to make a decision or having to act. Okay? Again, Glenn said, there's no relationship better than an unhealthy relationship. Of course. It makes sense. You know what, Glenn? I don't know. It's like, not speaking about Miss B, that's a really good question. Is no relationship better than an unhealthy relationship? I don't know. You know what? There are a lot of, when you think about children, there's some kids that get in trouble purposefully. Why? Because at least, you know, for children that get in trouble purposefully, getting in trouble and bad attention is better than no attention. At least I know I exist. You feel me? So for some people, staying in an unhealthy relationship is better than being lonely. It's better than being alone. Now, I'm not saying that's not right or wrong. I'm just saying that psychologically and emotionally, that's the space and place why some people stay. I'd rather be here and have something than have nothing, because what does it say about me that no one wants me? Anybody out there, you got a friend that's a self-proclaimed asshole? And they'll tell you, I'm a butthole. They'll tell you, I'm an asshole. And you're kind of like, well, why be a bad guy? I'd rather be the villain than be a nobody. It's all identity. At least I have an identity. At least I have an identity. I'd rather have some identity than have nothing. Peyton said, but they've been taught that because of poor past relationships and bonds. They deserve someone to show them that they can get positive attention. I agree. I definitely agree. You know, but it takes this leap, and it takes this act of bravery to be willing to go out on your own, you know. And when you being on your own is, don't think of it as a time of being lonely. Think of it as a time of exploration. Think of it as a time to find yourself, to find who you are. Miss B, Queen, I'm gonna tell you this: you are probably more powerful. You are stronger and you are more powerful than you think that you are. But you have to give yourself the opportunity to see. So again, I'm not saying leave. I'm not saying stay. I don't know if he's cheating or not. Just because you get a funny feeling that you think somebody's stepping outside of the relationship or cheating, that could be your, it doesn't mean that he is. We all a lot of times bring baggage and bias and biases and stuff into our relationships. So, but again, speaking directly to your question, it sounds like a little bit of gaslighting is going on. And again, that's this notion or idea of how all of the psychological tools and tricks that people pull to make you feel like you're crazy, to make you feel like you know what you see. You know what I tell people, listen, all these games that you playing with yourself, and I'm telling you this because I love you, Miss B, okay? Listen, Queen, all these questions, all these games, and all these mental gymnastics you playing with yourself, at the end of the day, you know who you lay down with every night. Again, I'm going to pause so you can think about that if you're listening. You know who you lay with. Like, come on. So again, if there are issues, nothing gets fixed. You know, nothing will get fixed unless you bring it up. And if you are in a space and a place that I think that your partner, you're expressing these ideas and your partner won't give them serious consideration and won't address them, you know, that's a problem. Even if he's not cheating, if he won't help you address these issues and concerns, then that still is a problem. Now the problem isn't your partner's cheating. Now the problem is my partner considerate enough to help me work through feelings? I tell people all the time, I used to talk to couples, and I tell people all the time, look, if your wife believes that there's a dragon in the living room, her problems are your problems. Even if there's no dragon in the living room, the fact of the matter is she believes there is, and you got to deal with it from that perspective. So I think that we should all be very careful about dismissing our partner's feelings and concerns because we don't understand their perspective, or we don't understand their pain, or we don't understand how past traumas, past interactions with mothers and fathers, past interactions and past relationships may influence how we see the world and how we go through the world. So it's all something to think about, okay? So Miss B, again, Glenn said perception is reality. People don't understand this near enough yet. Yes, indeed. So peace and blessings to you. And ask yourself, is there some codependency going on? Are you afraid? Are you afraid that if you find out, you'll have to make a decision? A lot of times when there's a fear, sometimes that for some people, that is at the root of it. I don't want to know because once I know, I got to make a decision. Okay? So something to think about. Something to think about. Okay? So peace and blessings to you. Moving on and moving forward. Where should we go from here? I actually got torn a new orifice because of last week's broadcast by men, actually. And I get men that write in, they're not you, Glenn, but I get a lot of men that write in. But when I started to talk about, I had men, basically men wrote in, and there was a couple of men that wrote in, and they said that I made it seem as if men don't have the capability to love because we're taught big boys don't cry all of our lives. And my apologies if something got lost in translation. That is not, I actually, when I said that, I was standing up for men. I was sticking up for men. My issue was, yeah, I know, but again, my issue, so I want to explain this real quick. So question number four was love versus the act of loving, what some men and some fathers are missing. Actually, I was trying to stand up for men. I was saying that so many people and so many women and so many people complain about men that we're not loving. But I said we don't ask and we don't choose to be this way, that when we're children, we're fed big boys don't cry, big boys don't cry, be a man, be a man, be a man all of our lives. And then we become men. We don't have tools. OK. For the gentleman, there were a couple of guys who wrote in. This is what I will say to you. I truly believe, I think that as men, we are taught to be providers and protectors. And it is important that we know that there is a difference between loving your wife, loving your children, and being loving. Those two things are not the same. So one gentleman wrote in and was like, I don't get what they're missing. You know, he said he works his butt off for his family. They have everything they want and need. That is how he, but what is the problem? And you loving your, yeah, and Peyton said physical, you know, physical affection. You loving your family and the act of loving, the act of hugging, the act of kissing, the act of being there, the act of emotionally being present are two completely different things. But again, I think that that's why these types of conversations are so very important. You have to talk to your partner, your wives or your partners or your children, and let them know. I think it's important to let them know how you express love. You know, it's important for your children to know, like, from your children's perspective, daddy don't love us. From your perspective, I give you everything you want and need. What's the problem? Okay, I think it's important for men to hear this conversation because we love our families. But again, I think that when we're kids, we don't receive the tools of how to actively love, of how to hug, of how to kiss, of how to be affectionate, how to be emotionally available, because nobody's ever emotionally available for us when we're young boys and when we're during our adolescent years. So we just don't have those tools, and those are tools that, as men, that's our fault. We have to learn how to develop. But there's a difference between, I'm not saying that men don't love that, your families. I'm saying I think that we definitely do. But sometimes because we was handicapped as children, we weren't given those tools. We take that into our marriages, we take that into our relationships, and we take that, you know, into our child-rearing behaviors. Okay, Peyton Online said, kids do what you do, good or bad, in front of you or behind the doors, they're going to do it, be an example. And that's the thing, is love is like, that's what people mean when they say love is an action. When they talk about love being a verb, it's not just a word, but it's an action. It's hugging, it's kissing, it's loving. Like, it's being emotionally available, it's having conversations. And again, I get it. That those are just, it's hard to do something that's never been done for you. And it's not just these guys that wrote in, it's myself included, it's a lot of men out there. It just doesn't feel second nature. It's, again, it's common sense to women, because everybody loves you and kisses you and hugs you when you're a little girl, when you hurt yourself. But when no one hardly ever does that for you, it's just not second nature for you. So for the guys that wrote in, that is what I meant. You know, again, I was trying to stick up for guys, and I was trying to say, again, a lot of times we seem distant because we don't have these tools, because they weren't given to us when we were young boys. And again, just make sure you know that there is a difference between loving your family and the act of loving. Start as best as you can to think of love as a verb, as an action, as doing that goes above and beyond just providing. That's hugging, that's kissing, that's touching, that's being emotionally available, okay? Again, Glenn said, he had to learn how to be physically affectionate with his son because it seems so odd. And it just seems odd when no one ever loves you or smothers you. As boys, it's just something that as we get older, we have to learn, okay? Even verbal affection was a learning process. Peyton said her dad was like that, hard working, trying to care for us. After his mom left, X, Y, and Z, but he wasn't emotionally present. He had two girls. He was raising two girls. And because of that, his sister and I grew up very differently. She saw sides of her father that he didn't. And he didn't let anyone else see. So she ended up being softer than her sister. Okay. And her dad loves her dad loves them both, but he was not always physically or showed an emotional side, okay? So again, to the guys out there, again, it wasn't me at all saying that men are loving in so much as, you know, I think that moving forward, we all have to learn how to be more emotionally, men have to learn how to be more emotionally available. Like I said, I got a son and I kiss my son every day. Because I want him to know how to kiss his partner or his wife or his kids. Like, I want him to know how to be affectionate. And it means something very different coming from me. You know mama gonna love you. You know mama gonna kiss on you. You know mama gonna show you that kind of attention. It's something different, though, when it comes from me. When it comes from a father, when it comes from a man, it lets him know it's okay to be emotional. It don't make you a punk. It don't make you a sissy. It don't make you soft. When he sees it come from me, you know, it's okay to be, from an identity perspective and an emotional perspective, to be emotionally dynamic. Not to just be a one-way street. So, something to think about. Okay, something to think about. All right. Wow. Okay, we are 51 minutes in, and that is a surprise. All right, I'm going to run and take a quick restroom break, and I'm going to come right back. Again, this is Love Lines with Dr. Hinton. Please, anybody in the chat room, please don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. We got a lot of good stuff to get to. Okay, so again, this is Dr. Hinton with Love Lines. Stick around.
Guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find the love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze. From your love, you see, I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. I would not do. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let you. Love. You've tried everything, but you won't give up. In my world, only you made me do for love what I would not do. Made me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do. We'll be right back.
right, we are back. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Again, this is Dr. Hinton with Love Lines, here for all of your love, intimacy, and attachment needs. For those that have questions, concerns, comments, or suggestions, you can catch us on the podcast at mahoganyloveandlight.podbean.com. Okay, that's mahoganyloveandlight.podbean.com. Or you can send an email. All correspondence via email will be left anonymous. Again, that's mulovedoctor@gmail.com. That's mulovedr@yahoo.com. gmail.com. At gmail. Gmail.com. That was an old one. All right. So we are moving forward. We are rocking and rolling. And so far, we've had a young lady who was in love with two men. She's trying to figure out who should she be with. We got someone who's suspected. She's suspecting that her partner may be stepping outside of their relationship. She wanted to know why she's afraid to find out. And again, we said sometimes that fear comes from, you know, once you find out, then you have to make a decision. And it's a larger part of the reason why a lot of times we lie to ourselves, not just about relationships, but about a lot of things in life. Ignorance is bliss, because once we know, then we have to decide and we have to act. And if she doesn't act, then I'm a fool for staying in this relationship. And if I do act, am I ready to be on my own? Okay. So, again, complex stuff. I just got an interesting question from someone that's about their kids. And the question, she said, is, her and her husband found they have two children who are in their late teens, and they found out that both of their kids are having sex. And she wanted to know, why was her husband's response different towards the son in comparison to how he responded when he found out their daughter was having sex? Why is it that we respond differently with our boys than our girls? And I will say this. Sex, again, we're not talking about right or wrong. Evolutionary double standard, Glenn said, yeah. Well, one, the consequences of sex are very different for men and women. Again, I'm not to the person who just sent this in, literally just sent this in. It's not me giving an excuse. These are just some things to think about. Well, one, the consequences for sex are very different for men and women. Okay? Your daughter gets pregnant, the baby's probably coming to your house. If your son gets someone pregnant, chances are he's not bringing the baby home with him. Two, more than likely, I would say, that he feels, I don't like speaking for other people, but I will tell you this. As boys, we don't have a marker that tells or teaches us when we're men. So from a societal perspective, this is one of the ways that young men, young men solidify their masculinity and their manhood by having sex. How are you, Queen? Good to see you. Is it Amen? Good to see you. Thank you for joining us. A lot of fathers are secretly happy when they find out their sons are having sex. It's because, one, you find out, one, it's kind of like, wow, okay, my son's not gay. And two, he's becoming a man. Now, again, I am not saying that's how I feel. Okay? And I am not saying every man on the face of the earth feels that way. But I know a lot of men that they're pretty happy when they find out that their sons like girls for some reason. and why that is a concern. Maybe again on some, I wonder if some evolutionary primitive level, we are all subconsciously thinking about our genes moving forward. Case in point, example. We see two women together. We see two lesbians or two women together. We don't react in the same way as when we see two men together. The question is why. I wonder if on some deep-seated, I keep telling you, look, the only thing that separates us from monkeys, don't let your iPhone fool you. Don't let your car fool you. The only thing that separates you from monkeys is you can think about tomorrow, what we call executive functioning abilities. Your cognitive, your frontal lobes, you can think about tomorrow and you can make plans in a different way. Other than that, a lot of who we are and a lot of the way we respond is evolutionary based. So I wonder if there is a part of us subconsciously that is always thinking about reproducing and our genes moving forward. So I wonder, is that why we have this visceral response to seeing two men that we don't have in exactly the same way as when we see two women together? Now, again, I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm saying, again, that's sort of me in my head thinking about evolution and thinking about the purpose of people. Something to think about. And I could be wrong. I'm more than willing to be corrected. But with our sons, a lot of fathers are proud. We know that our boys like girls, and he is becoming a man. There is so much masculinity, so much man stuff, and so much masculinity wrapped up in sex for men that it is unbelievable. And women know it too. You want to know why? You want to know why I know women know it? Women, that masculinity is wrapped up. Like being a man and masculinity is sort of a major part of sex for us, because women, like, if a lot of times if sex isn't good, women will fake so his feelings don't get hurt. Why are you faking again? So again, and it's a larger part, again, the problem is that, and we've said this, I said this last week, and I think we said this on the men's panel as well. I think we said this on the men's panel as well. Women have a marker when they become a woman. You have a period. I don't know when I'm a man. So we're constantly out here trying to validate our masculinity. As I said, like, and if you can go back and listen to the men's panel that we did, I think it's like episode 6 or something. It comes down to, you know, having sex and fighting. That's why dudes fight at bars. You know, that's why dudes fight at bars. Like, that's why dudes, like, listen, guys want to have threesomes. You can't handle one woman. Why would you want two women? Because I'm so much man, I need two women. It's a masculinity thing. It's why dudes like having sex with other people's girlfriends and other people's wives. All these women out here, you want to mess with somebody else's woman. Why? Because I am more man than him. There is a lot of masculinity. These are all men. These are all dudes and all men seeking masculinity, wanting to feel like a man, whatever that is. Now, that's a whole nother conversation for another day, to talk about what it means to be a man. But I'm saying, these stereotypical views and perspectives, that's what we're seeking. So I digress. Going back to your question, I think that that's a part of the reason why he responds, your husband responded very differently. Glenn says he hates threesomes. He prefers to disappoint women one at a time. But I think that I think that that is a larger part of why he responded so very differently to your daughter than to your son. Okay, that's just me. Again, the consequences of sex are so very different. If she gets pregnant, y'all may have to take care of the baby. If he gets somebody else pregnant, then the baby's not coming home with him. But also, again, my son is finally becoming a man. Boys will be boys, and my son is becoming a man. And there is some pride in that for some men. So, something to think about. Something to think about. All right, moving forward. Are women manipulative? Someone asked the question, are women manipulative? Some of the people online, tell me what you think. Do women manipulate men to get what they want? Are all women manipulative? Do women manipulate men to get what they want? And why? Why do women manipulate men to get what they want? And I'm trying to pull up Peyton's responses online. Give me 2 seconds. But I do believe, I think, for some reason or another, I don't like the term manipulate because it seems evil and it seems nefarious. Like women are evil and conniving. I don't know if I like that terminology, but I will say that I think women have to use other means to sort of get some of the things that they want in relationships, because a lot of relationships are dominated by men. Peyton said, first of all, don't we all kind of do it to an extent, even just to get something small? That's true. That's true. I do believe that to some degree, we all push each other's buttons. We find each other's sweet spots so we can convince or coerce the people in our lives and the people that we're in relationships with to get the things that we want. But the more I think about it, I wonder if women are put in a position, if women are put in a position in a relationship to do more of it. And again, I think socio-historically, men have always made more money. Men have been bigger, and men are bigger on average. I'm not trying to say it's not some women out there that won't knock you out. That's not what I'm saying. But I think on average, men are bigger. Men are bigger. Men are stronger. And socio-historically, like men, when you look across the board, have made more money. So I think that men a lot of times in relationships have had leverage. So if he's big, if your partner is bigger and stronger and makes most of the money, and then you throw on top of that, he's supposed to be the head of the household. If religion is a factor for you, if there are things that you want and you need, you know, again, I don't like the person used the term manipulation. I don't necessarily like the term manipulation. It seems like it's nefarious to some degree, and I don't think that that's it. But I do think that, again, if somebody's bigger, taller, stronger, and makes all the money and holds all the leverage in a relationship, how do you get what you want? You know, but again, I don't like speaking for other people. I'm not a woman, so I don't know. Let's see what they say online. Peyton says, sometimes, especially if we feel more codependent in a relationship, that's a good point. In some ways, if we get something small, it's like a win when we're in a male-dominated relationship. Glenn said on the same token, leadership and manipulation are very similar until they get to the why. As a leader, you are doing it for the good of the group, where a manipulation is for the self. Good point. That's a very good point. A man said religion is not a problem for women, I think. It's about culture and society. It's about the culture and society we have in the country. I agree with that to some extent. I think that, I don't know. And thank you for responding. Someone online said that they don't think that it's religion, that it's just the culture and society of the country. But I think that it's hard to separate religion and societal values. I mean, you got in God you trust, and God we trust on our money. So, I mean, it's like it. I think that they are, to some degree, I think that they're interwoven, and that separation is hard. Is hard to make, you know. So think about. I mean, again, we put in our pledge. You know, we put God in our pledge, you know, during the Cold War, so we could seem like we were supported by God, that God loved us and God was on our side. So like there, like somehow religion and our religious perspective is interwoven in our society and our culture. You know what I mean? So I think it may be a little bit of both. Maybe a little bit of both. But that's a good point, though. That's a good point. Peyton again said, absolutely. When he talks about women, when we speak about women and manipulation. And absolutely, not always for big things, but just to get our way. But have you ever been told, but have you ever told us you didn't want to watch a movie that we did and we batted our eyes at you or something nice to sway your way, to sway your perspective. If we suggest food and you don't feel it, but that's what we want. We'll say, oh, okay, you know, then 5 minutes later, we get the food that we want. It works like a charm. So, yeah, I can appreciate that. So, again, maybe not with big things, but just with small things. That's a good point. In a relationship, Glenn said, in a relationship, sometimes people perceive that things as a manipulation, whereas the true why. In genuine leadership and trying to get better together, but as we said earlier, perception is reality. Okay, so that's a good question. I don't think it's a thing of manipulation. And that's an interesting dynamic to probably. That's an interesting question. Again, I'm gonna try to have, and I'm gonna hit you up, Peyton. I'm gonna probably try to get a women's panel together within the next couple of weeks, hopefully. And I think that's a good question for the women's panel to ask. This notion or idea of, is there social historically, has there been an imbalance in power in relationships, and do women this idea of manipulation in order to get what you want? So that was an interesting question. All right. Moving forward. Here's a question that I was trying to say for, I'm trying to put together an interracial dating panel, and somebody just outright asked the question, is there a difference between, in his experiences, he's dated black women and white women, and he wanted me to ask the audience, do I think that there's a difference between black and white women? Or is everybody the same? Lordy, lordy, lordy. Are we all the same? In my opinion, no. Peyton said we all crazy, though. I didn't say that. She did. In my opinion, no. I think that when we talk about culture, when we talk about race, as I always say, and this is my philosophy on life is that there's the right thing to say and there's the honest thing to say. And a lot of times the reason that things don't get fixed is that everybody's trying to say the right thing and they won't say the honest thing. Are black and white women the same? No, I don't think black and white people the same. So I definitely don't think black and white women the same. The problem is that we can be different. Like, being equal and being the same are completely different. As a black person, just a crash course on race, as a black person, I need you, if you're not black, and especially if you're white, I need you to see that I am not like you. I need you to see that I'm black. Because if you think that we're alike, then it may become harder for you to understand the unique lived experiences that I have as a black person. So, but the issue is we can be different and just celebrate our differences and be cool. Like, I'll tell people all the time, one of the worst things you can say is, I don't see race. That scares me. If you don't see race, then that means that you don't see a lot of these unique experiences and a lot of the stuff that I'm going through, if you don't see that we're not alike. So it's important to recognize we're different. We can be different and it can be cool. Like, we can be different and everything. So this question about black and white women being different. I think families matter. I think culture matters. I think family matters. I think family structures matter. Again, and we got a response. Before I get to it, I got a response online from a man. Said, Arabic love to have more wife. No one problem. If I love beautiful young girls, so what about old age one? In Arab countries, it's okay to have more women because it's better, for example, for one city, more older girls go just for sex. It's not good for all humanity. And she said, what about older women? Glenn said, I see race, but it's not something I make a priority out of. Okay. Oh, it's no problem. And thanks everybody for your responses online. I think what's important is that families, culture, all of those things play an important part in how we raise our kids. I'll give an example. So during slavery, black men, black boys, by the time they could have kids and they was 12, 13 years old, they was taken out of the house and they were studded. Okay? They would take them out of a part of slavery was they was trying to make super slaves. They would get the biggest and strongest slaves and try so they could have sex with the biggest and strongest slaves to have babies that was going to be big, strong slaves. Okay? There was a system to it. So when these boys were 12, this is important. So check this out. So when these boys were 12 or 13 years old, they were taken out of the house. They were studded. So who was in the house? Who you had in the house was you had mothers, you had daughters, and you had baby boys. So mothers had to teach their daughters, you don't know when they're going to come get your uncle. You don't know when they're going to come get your brother. You don't know when they're going to come get them. Like, you got to be able to do everything. You got to be able to work in the house. You got to be able to work in the field. You got to be strong. You got to hold it down because they killing our men and they taking them away and they kidnapping them. That laid a foundation for like this strong, assertive black woman, the strong, assertive personality that black women have. We raise our daughters to be strong. That's where they came from. Like, it came from this notion of idea, again, that we was used to our men being taken away from us. So we had to raise our daughters to be strong and be assertive and be able to do everything. So then what happens to our boys? And this is another conversation for another day. The older boys are taken out of the house. You got mothers, you got daughters, and then you got baby boys. You baby them because you scared that they gonna come get them. Now that creates a whole nother dynamic that we don't even have time to talk about tonight. But again, I'm just saying, I'll let to say, like, culture matters. Like, are we all the same? How are we all the same when we all have different cultural experiences and we raise and rear our daughters very differently? When we talk about American culture, when we talk about white American culture, as I always ask my students, who is man's best friend? Man's best friend is dog. It ain't even woman, it's dog. Like, the dog more important than you in America. Like, behind every good man is a good woman. Not beside him. Not beside him, but behind him. So, I'm saying that all these euphemisms play an important part. I think all these euphemisms are important. All these things play a part in how we culturally view women, how we culturally raise, you know, how we rear and how we raise our daughters and how we raise our girls and how we sort of the expectations that we give our women and our girls about their places in relationships, their places in their marriages, and their place in society. So it's something to think about. So ask the question, are black women and are black, you know, I know they're strong black women. I'm not saying all white women are like that. You know what I'm saying? They're strong black women and they're strong white women. And then, you know, like there's variety amongst all cultures, but I'm just saying that to say, I think it's very important to think about culture and cultural experiences and how those things play an important part in how we rear and how we raise our kids. Okay. So, something to think about. Peyton said, I think in that sense of black women being raised to be strong and independent, I think while women are meant to be raised soft and dependent in a historic sense, I think that's a good point. I see what you're saying. And what's interesting is this strength and this independence through the media is looked at as aggression. You know, it's looked at and it's portrayed to be aggressive when it's really not. So, but again, it's important to think about how culture, how family structures, how all of these things play an important part in why we are the way we are, okay? So again, to the person who wrote that, hopefully that helped. And again, peace and blessings to you, okay? So I think culture matters, family structures matter, all of that good stuff, all right? And again, if there's anybody... Glenn says it's going to take a week to fully understand that part. Hit me up, Glenn. We'll talk about it. Like I said, we know how to get in touch with each other. We'll talk about it a little bit more, okay? there's a... He just wrote and called himself Tom. And we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. It's been an hour and a half strong. I know. Don't start me with this power stuff. I got cursed out by 3 people last week because I started the show when power was going to come on. And then I pushed it back an hour. So now I tried to, you know, get in here a little bit early so everybody could be finished with this and you can go on and you can watch power. A question for the audience that's out there and those that's listening on the podcast. Tom is debating prostitution versus dating. He asked the question, is it the same? He said, either way, he feels like he's paying for sex. He comes out cheaper if he buys a prostitute. Now, I don't even know what to do with that question, but I thought it was awesome. So I decided to throw it out to the audience to see what you think. He makes the statement that it's all selling sex, that some women just make themselves feel better. Some women just make themselves feel better by saying that we're dating. If we're dating and you ask me for help you with your rent, or we're dating and I ask you for $100 to help you with your child's daycare or for a washer and dryer, how is that any different? Why is that any different and how is that any different? I don't even know if I have an answer for Tom, but that's something that you always get really, really interesting questions, and I just thought I would throw that out to the audience to see what you think. And I think I see your perspective, Tom, if all you're looking for is sex. You know, if all that you're looking for is sex, then yeah, save you a little money and I guess, you know, go downtown or wherever you go in whatever city you live in. You know? But a lot of times people get into sex is a small part of being in a relationship. As we said before, Some research shows 60% of time is spent together, 30% of time is sleeping, and 10% is used having sex, you know? Peyton said that, you know, sounds like he's the problem and not the woman or the prostitute that he's buying. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. I think that, again, if sex is your goal, if that is your goal, then I think we all understand your logic. If that's the only goal that you have, you know. But again, if you're talking about relationships and building healthy, strong, healthy relationships, yeah, I don't know. I think the perspective is a little bit, messed up to say that. Well, I don't want to say it's messed up. I'll say I don't agree with your perspective. This notion or idea that. To make the equivalency between people who are in a relationship, just because your partner asks for money or needs financial help in a relationship, that it's the same thing as somebody that's selling sex on the street. Yeah, I think you lost me on that one, bro. You lost me on that one. But needless to say, that's an interesting perspective. That's an interesting perspective. All right. All right. So again, yeah, those, if you want to respond to Tom, email me and respond to Tom. Okay. Lastly, before we wrap it up, and this is for the ladies out here, religion and relationships can change something between two couples. I agree. I mean, religion and relationships can change something between couples. I agree. Before we wrap it up, last serious email, and all jokes aside, a young lady that wrote in, her husband, well, she just said her man, so I'm not really sure if they is her husband or not. He wants to bring another woman into the relationship, into their bedroom. It's someone that they both know, which is interesting. He wants to bring someone else in the relation into their bedroom. It's someone that they know. She's not really sure about it. She's not really sure if she should, if she shouldn't, but she loves him and she wants to make him happy. So for those that are listening, especially for those that are online, what say you? My life philosophy is I don't do anything that I'm not 100% sure of that I want to do. And I hope that your partner isn't putting you in a position to feel pressured. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that is, I would hope that that is something that he's not trying to put pressure on you to do. And I don't think that that's something you should feel pressured to do, in my opinion. You know, if that's something you're into or there's something you want to do, that's cool. When you start bringing other people into your relationship and other people into your bedroom, I'm telling you now, it gets complicated. Even when everybody is gung-ho and everybody's all excited to do it, it gets ridiculously, ridiculously complicated. I'm telling you. Peyton says, sis, if he loves you, he won't ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with. And again, that's echoing what I'm saying. That's a good point. She says some people are freaky and that's cool, but if they won't put aside their wants and needs to make you happy, why are you sacrificing your happiness? And that's a good point. She makes a really good point. Peyton makes a really good point. Thank you for answering online. Like, why sacrifice your happiness for somebody else's happiness is the question. Love is a little give and take on either side, but it should never be changing who you are. Now, if you're interested in trying it and just want to blame it on him, then that's cool. Go ahead with your bad self, but don't be ashamed if you into it. We appreciate that. Thank you. And that's the thing is, you know, stuff like that, if you're interested and you into it, that's y'all thing, you know. But again, don't feel pressured. And I always say those are red flags. Like, can you be in your relationship and not? And red flags to me are, I don't believe that you should ever give up your identity or your sense of self or your core in order for your relationship to work. If you have to go, I personally don't believe that anybody should sacrifice their morals, their values, or their identity for a relationship, for any relationship. That's me personally. And it sounds like that's kind of direction that you're moving in. Glenn said it's not all about him. It has to be something both people want and are interested in doing. Very good. Glenn also said that jealousy comes out even when it's agreed to earlier. And that was my point, was even when people agree to it, later on we find out that sometimes jealousy comes into play. Did he spend a little bit too much time giving somebody else attention during the whole process? You know what I'm saying? Like, all of these, oh, you know what I'm saying? When it was all over, you know what I mean? Like, just it jealousy comes into play with somebody getting a little bit too much attention. You never did that to me. You look too happy when you was with her. It just it potentially can get really, really, really ugly. You know, Glenn said, I've had relationships where something was agreed to and later it became unhealthy. And even though both parties were both originally interested. And then Peyton said, everybody has to be on board with their ideas. You know what I mean? And if it's not in their favor, they're mad. So what I would say to you is, I just don't, in life with anything, not just with sex or relationship, with anything in life, if you're not sure, if it's not something you want and you're not sure that you want to do it, I think that you should give it some serious, serious thought. I've said it before, I've preached it before, and I'll preach it again. I totally don't believe in sacrificing your morals, your values, your beliefs, or your identity for anyone. I just, I don't. And I think that, you know, I think that's how women get just spent out emotionally. You're constantly sacrificing all of who you are for everybody else. And like, nobody is feeding you and recharging you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. You're constantly giving of yourself always. And it's how women get frustrated and they burn out in their relationships and they burn out taking care of their kids. Like, women are mothers, and God, like, if your mama is, whoever you are, if your mother's alive, kiss your mother. Constantly sacrificing. It's like, that's why I always tell women, every day you need to make sure you do something that make you happy. You can't be an effective lover or an effective caregiver if you're not satisfied and you're not holistically happy. And I think that, again, I don't know if it's the right thing to, one of the questions that I think we didn't get to was, should love be unconditional? I don't think it should. You have to have lines. You have to have boundaries, and you have to have lines, in my opinion. You have to. And again, the way to know if you're being compromised, or the way you know when it's time to leave, is if, in fact, you know, you have to compromise a part, a piece of your identity or your sense of self or your morals or your values or your beliefs for said relationship to work. That's how you know that it's at least time to take a step back, reevaluate and recalibrate and figure out if this is still the healthiest situation for you. Okay. So something to think about. The old Glenn. We ain't going there, Glenn. Again, we're an hour and a half in. I got to get out of here. Again, for those that are listening or may be listening, again, Love Lines is every Sunday. We're going to try this 6 o'clock hour to see if that works best for people. But for those that, again, if you'd like to contact me, mulovedoctor@gmail.com. That's mulovedr@gmail.com. Again, all of the past shows from Love Lines, from Synergy, from Brother to Brother, all those past shows are up on the podcast website. That's Mahogany Love and Light, Mahogany Love and Light .podbean.com. That's Mahogany Love and Light .podbean.com. Again, some really, really good podcasts out there. Glenn, Peyton, peace and blessings to you, Queen. I appreciate you chiming in. Miss White, hopefully she's out there listening. We're going to try to get her back in the studio pretty soon. And again, hope you're feeling better. And Glenn, I appreciate you, my brother. Always, everybody check out Glenn's podcast. Glenn, GLENN, the word double, FINGN. Okay. So again, and his podcast is called The Random Guy Podcast. Okay. And he is from Canada. So he's listening all the way from Canada. So I appreciate you, my brother. Okay. So again, as I always say, when I sign out, you know, life is short. You know, graveyards are full of potential and regret. Make sure you're doing the things that you love to do in life. Make sure you're doing the things you love to do in life. And make sure you're loving the people that you love, the people that you care about. Make sure that they know. Okay? So, you know, God willing, until next week. And I always say peace and blessings to you.
Believe in me. Believe in me. You must believe. Believe in me.
With affection, like a dreamer. With patience and understanding, like a teacher. With a student, vice versa.
Asking you to have some faith. Oh, believe. got another way I wanna tell you.
Believe me. Oh,
lately I've been thinking.
Believe me.
About this crazy world. Being one step away from war.